Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back live from Chickie's. And the new heated deck at Chickie's and Pizza on the Boulevard is open. Enjoy the best in-game experience on the deck at Chickie's on the Boulevard. We, of course, are at Chickie's in South Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni, literally within a couple seconds here, I agree, as he his day after press conference. Here is Nick Sirianni.
What's up, Nick? Can you give us the latest on Gardner Johnson, please?
Yeah, still working through that. Still running tests and seeing what's going on. So don't have any information for any new information for you yet. Besides that, something in his rib area, in that midsection.
Can you tell us maybe if you're thinking long term or not? Like, is IR a possibility?
Yeah, we're not there yet, Tim. Hopefully not, but we're not there. We're not there yet. So I know he was in some pain yesterday after he took that hit.
We'll go to Dave and then Chris Franklin.
Hey, Nick, last night you mentioned that Jalen brings a bunch of ideas to you guys, I guess, between series. Curious if that's concepts or specific plays. And if you could, can you kind of fill us in on how the whole process plays out?
Sure. Well, obviously you go through the process of, what you'd look at after each series, right? You look at the pictures with the guys, try to fix any issues that you may have had that series, fix any mistakes that you may have had that series, so you don't repeat that mistake. And then you try to discuss, is what your next situational calls are, what your next drive starters are, what your next drive is going to entail, run game, pass game, screen game, protection wise. And so you're just in constant communication of, hey, well, here's what to expect next. Here's why, this and that. And Jalen just brings good insight to that conversation of, hey, I'm seeing this, and we could get to that. And what do you guys think here? And so it's just, just kind of our part of our process that we go through. And just the only difference, I guess, is how much more Jalen's involved because of how well he's seeing the game. And so that's kind of, a normal process for us, Jalen being involved more because he's getting more and more comfortable and he's, he's seeing the field really well and he's got great, great thoughts and ideas that have led to good plays.
We'll go to Chris and then Rube.
Afternoon, Nick. I'll go ahead and ask another injury related question about Jordan Davis. Can we expect to see him on the practice field when we guys get back on there on Wednesday? And do you feel that, where do you think he fits in and how is he progressing with his injury?
Yeah, obviously we don't have to make that decision quite yet. And so not there yet. You think about the whole thing, everything that we have to go through to get ready for a game. And so, you stay on top of everything, but you don't rush any decision, right? Like there's no reason for us. We got this day. Players weren't in today. I gave them off today. So we have like this little extra time, but that doesn't mean we rush to get first and second down game plan done. And it's the same thing here. Not in a big rush to force something until we have all the answers and see how he's feeling. But I know he's attacking the rehab like crazy. I know our training staff and our doctors and our strength staff are doing everything they can do to help him. And I know Jordan's doing everything he can do to help himself. So a great team effort by everybody, and we'll see. We'll see. So long answer to tell you, we'll see on Wednesday.
Go ahead, Rube, and then Jeff.
Hey, Nick. We saw it was only a handful of snaps, but we saw Andre Dillard at left guard when Landon came out for a few snaps. What led to that, and how has he kind of embraced guard? I don't think we've ever seen him do it. And how big is it to have, you know, have him involved that way?
Yeah, you know, with Andre, you know, getting some reps there at guard, you know, it's really important to have that flexibility for him to play. You know, the more positions he can play, the better, obviously, right? Especially, you know, we got a lot of D linemen that are up too, right? And so when you have, you know, that much depth at D line, and we love to play guys at D line, obviously you're not going to be able to have everybody up in other spots. And so, you know, with our situation at offensive line, we've had 8 up. As you know, this year, a couple times we've had 9 up, but right now it's been 8, and it's important that those guys are cross-trained well to be able to handle not only the left side, but the right side, but not only tackle, but guard. And so Andre's just done a nice job in practice of getting himself ready to do that. Obviously Coach Stout, does an unbelievable job of cross-training him and getting him ready, through the gauntlet that is called a Coach Stoutland position meeting. You got to be ready at all levels for every question. Mentally, you're going to have to be on it, and then being on the practice field physically, being on it. And so, man, I can't tell you how much respect I have for Coach Stout and just how he gets these guys ready, but then also Andre for getting himself ready to do this. So hats off to both of them to be ready to go. And we have a lot of faith in Andre to play tackle and to play guard, as you saw yesterday when we put him in there at guard.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then Bo.
Nick, coming in statistically, Nixon was one of the better returners in the NFL, and your kick coverage unit was one of the worst. So what went into the decision to actually kick the ball down 3 times?
Yeah, as you saw, the one we're trying to put it in the back of the end zone, he took it out 8 deep. You can't kick it out of bounds because then you give him to him at the 40-yard line. So we're kicking it as deep as we possibly can, and he happened to take one out. You know, obviously when you're playing a really good returner, you try to keep it out of his hands when you can, but that's not always possible. And he can take it out. We can't dictate when he takes it out or not. And I got a lot of respect for him as a returner. We need to be better on kickoff coverage though. It was us putting the guy, first of all, we're always going to look at ourselves in the mirror first as coaches and say, did we put him in the best positions to make plays? And I don't want us to, you know, everything that goes on in that field is my responsibility. And it's my responsibility first. So if the defense doesn't do something that they're supposed to, I'm not just the offensive coach, right? If the defense doesn't do something that systematically or scheme wise, it's on me first, right? Same thing with special teams. So I say that as to the point where I'm not putting anybody out there. We need to put them in better positions. And that starts with me. And then it goes to Coach Clay. And then when we have a call on, we have to perform the fundamentals necessary to make that call work. And so again, we got to make the right decisions of what, how to put these guys in a spot, which we didn't do a good enough job of yesterday, starting with me. And then guys got to make plays when on that also. But it always starts with us as coaches, always, always, always. But to answer your, again, like I said, to answer your question again, he's a really good returner, but he was able to get some hands on the ball and take some out deep. And when we did get it on the 2-2, there was some wind yesterday, and we were kicking into some wind yesterday. And so he was able to make us pay when he didn't have it. And even he made us pay when he took it out 6 yards deep, pardon me.
Go ahead, Bo, and then John.
Hey, Nick, sort of open-ended, but what did you learn watching the tape that you maybe didn't know watching the game live?
Yeah, you know, obviously, offensively, I think you just saw – I mean, everyone knows the stats that Miles had yesterday. But you just – he's making some runs happen in big-time scenarios and really protecting the football well. And so, you know, he really stuck out of the runs that he made. And I know statistically everybody already knew that, right? Well, everybody already knew that he had the type of game that happened, but he made some really nice runs. He really protected the ball. He's running physical. And then Jack Stoll, I thought played really well. I know we already know, like last night we knew the entire offensive line played well, right? You don't run the ball like that if they don't. But Jack Stoll was able to hold off the backside and on a collapsing defensive end a couple times. That was a difficult task, and he really stepped up to the challenge. The other thing that you really saw is, again, you know this every time you rush for a big game like this, but it takes everybody and the receivers. I thought AJ had his best blocking game. He Miles's touchdown, you know, he was blocking his butt off on the first touchdown. And then the same thing on Kenny's. He just was on his guy in the run game. And I thought that was very obvious. And that's great when you get that from your wide receivers in the run game. So those are a couple things offensively that, you know, stuck out that you see a little bit extra when you see the tape. I think, you know, that Reed had a really nice game on defense. I think he did a lot of good things there on defense. I think N'Kobe was good on special teams. You know, sometimes you don't see exactly who played well there. And, you know, Aaron obviously had some really good punts, good operation. Fletcher Cox to me played his best game of the year. He was awesome in that game. He was on fire in that game. And that was awesome. And because people feed off him, that's your captain, that's your leader. And he goes out there and plays like that. Everybody feeds off that. And he's exciting to watch when he's creating havoc. So there's a couple things, Bo.
Go ahead, John, and then Martin.
Hi, Nick. To kind of follow up on the kickoff coverage, a couple weeks ago when you guys had the ball security issues, Quez got caught from behind. You made some adjustments and said, "We're going to work that. We're going to drill that." And you had the drill where they're coming up from the ground. Curious, in special teams, do you look at that kind of game, that kind of performance, and say, "All right, we have to put these guys in a better position. We have to do some things differently this upcoming week."
Yeah, of course. Of course, you always want to put them in better spots to help them accomplish their job, right? That's our job as coaches, to put them in the best spots they can to accomplish their job. And then the next tool that we have as coaches that we need to do is prepare them for how to do that job, right? So here's your assignment. Here's what's critical for you to do for us, this play, to be successful. And we're trying to put you in the best spots as possible. And then here's how you do that assignment. So that is fundamentals, right? When I say that is fundamental. So, you know, and that's just coaching those fundamentals of that. And that's what this game's about. Like, because we can say we're going to put them in a great spot to make a play, but that other coach is getting paid too to put his guys in a great spot. So if one coach is calling a good play and the other coach is calling a good play, what does it come down to? Well, it comes down, and one player is really good and the other player is really good. You know, what does it come down to? Who plays with better fundamentals? You know, we always know our guys, there are want to of our guys, and our desire for of our guys is second to none. Our guys bust their butts out there to make every play. And I think that's on display every week. But then it comes down to fundamentals and who's playing with great fundamentals out there. And so that's the thing. You can, you know, our job is, like I said, John, to put them in the best possible scenario. And then the things you can drill really is those fundamentals, you know, drill the fundamentals to make sure that they're equipped to not only know what to do, but how to do it.
Go ahead, Martin, and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. I know you talked a little bit about Reed last night and just, you know, his contributions and everything. But I was kind of curious, you know, with him and Josiah. I mean, Josiah obviously is going to be in there for the next few weeks while Avante's on IR. How much did those two guys show you, not only last night, but what they've done all year? And you know, if it's a situation where CJ's out for the next few weeks or whatever, like how able they are to, you know, keep playing in those positions and be key contributors?
Yeah, they just come to work every day, and we trust that they know what to do. And that's just a piece of it, right? We trust that they know what to do because they work hard and they're smart and they study hard. But you also have to have talent to do it, right? And they have that as well. Both of those guys have major talent. That's why they're on this team, right? They're tough, they're smart, they got talent. And so you have that faith in them. You have that faith in them that they're going to go out and perform and do the things they need to do to help us win. I think Josiah was able to do that at times last year for us. So we've seen that. And he was also great on special teams for us all last year and in continuing into this year. So sometimes you don't get to see that live unless it is on special teams. And every time Reed's had an opportunity to play and to perform, he's done a really good job. So we have a ton of faith in those guys. That's the reason they're here, is because we have faith in them. Right? If you don't have faith in them, then, and it's not blind faith. You hear me say that all the time. It's not blind faith. It's faith that they give us because of the way they practice, because of the way they, go about their business and prepare. And now the way they're playing.
We'll take these last two questions. So go ahead, Zach, and then Jimmy.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. On kickoff coverage, how much, or I guess, are there personnel changes that you can make? And what's your philosophy about using starters in that area?
Yeah, really good question, Zach. That's a really good question. And we got to do whatever we got to do to get it fixed. So obviously I'm not going to tell you, hey, this guy's going to play here, this guy's going to play here. But obviously everything is discussed, right? Is there a guy that you can call up from practice squad that could help, right? So that's discussed. Is there a guy that can give you a phase or two on special teams? That's a starter. That's discussed. Everything is. And I think that's a really good point by you, Zach. And everything is on the table. And I won't tell you, this is what's happening this week, or this is, because we're still in the early phases of what can help. Again, it always starts with myself and putting them in the right position. But then the guys have to go out and execute it. And, and then it could be shuffling guys around. Like I said, I thought N'Kobe played a really good game on special teams. So maybe he takes a different role within the special teams. Maybe it is on kickoff. Maybe it's on kickoff return, wherever it may be, because he's doing a nice job. It doesn't have to be just the guys that are in there. It can be a shuffle, and everything's on the table to make sure that we're, doing our jobs to make sure this is that it gets right. That's all we care about, is how we get this thing right. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Nick. Tennessee has one of the better run defenses in the NFL, and just generally speaking, they're thought of as a very physical, tough, grimy kind of team. What is your experience with them from your time in Indy, and then what have you seen from them in that regard just in your initial look at the season?
I think you hit it right on, Jimmy. This is a tough, physical football team. Really take after their head coach. Mike Vrabel is tough, physical. I was on a staff, my first job in the NFL, Mike Vrabel was a captain on the Kansas City Chiefs, and I couldn't say more good things about him as a player. And I know how good of a job. I've obviously never coached with him, but the way he led as a football player on that team, coming from the great Steeler team and, Ohio State teams, and back to, when he went to Walsh Jesuit, and then being on those Patriot teams, like, that guy just knows how to lead people and lead men. And so that's on full display. It was on full display very as a young coach, where I learned a lot from him as that goes, and what a captain's supposed to look like. And now it's on display from him as a coach. So I like to say that just first and foremost, he's a damn good football coach, and he's going to have those guys ready to go. And then that defense that they had, you asked me about the defense. Obviously I have a lot of experience going against that defense. They're good. They're really good. Again, they're physical. They're sound. They don't beat themselves. They don't have a lot of penalties. In my early studies is on them, is that I'm seeing a lot of the things I saw when we play them. When I was with the Colts, Simmons, he's a really good player. He plays at a very high level, and he's still playing at a high level. I was with DeNico Autry, with the Colts, and he's, He's a really good player. He's a really tough player. He fits that mold of what Tennessee bases themselves off of. Byard you always got to be aware of where he is on the football field, because he can make you pay, at any moment. With him being around the football, they have Bud Dupree, in the mix there. And again, I know he's been banged up, but he's a really good player coming over from the Steelers. Obviously he wasn't there on that defense when I was in Indy, but we're going to have to be on our stuff. We're good too. We're going to have to be on our stuff, but we know that this is a very sound defense, a very physical defense. And so we'll have to be on it, and we're gonna work like crazy to make sure we put our guys in the best position to make plays.
Thanks. Thanks for your time, Coach.
All right, there you had it. Nick Sirianni. This is Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Taste Cake studios. We're live at Chiggs and Pete's, and Chiggs and Pete's gift cards are the perfect present this holiday season. They always fit. Stop in an area location, or you can get them online, chiggsandpetes.com. Well, we were hoping to get some more information on CJ Turner-Johnson, nothing, and Jordan Davis, nothing. So any questions we had for real info, he was not sharing.
Yeah.
So I would assume that they know how, like, that if it's serious or not, the CJ penalty, the Gardner-Johnson injury. But, like, they just don't have all the details, or they just don't want to have to say it yet. I'm expecting him to miss a couple weeks.
Yeah. If it was nothing, he would have said it.
Right.
Yeah. If it was nothing, he would have said, we don't expect him to miss any time. He'll be back soon. So it's just a matter of how long it's going to be, whether or not – when they say IR, it's automatically 4 weeks. So I don't know if they want to put him on IR, because it may not take 4 weeks for him to get healed. I'm not sure if they look in there.
Or it could be worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they look in there and it depends on how much damage they see that's in there, then you have to determine, okay, what's the rehabbing situation going to be? How long is that going to take? It's not one of those injuries where he's going to be able to avoid contact. He's a safety.
Right.
So, he has to go out there and tackle people. Yeah. So, he has to be damn near 100% healthy to go out there and play.
It's a huge loss. It really is. He has been such a key addition. Leads the NFL in interceptions.
Yeah.
So he has been a key addition.
Well, the good thing is we don't play another throwing quarterback until Dallas. So you don't have to worry about Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields. Who else is in there?
You have Daniel Jones ended a year. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's only six more games here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. OG Wade. He was being facetious, but he was in part right. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson isn't the greatest tackler.
No.
So it's not like you're missing out on someone that brings a physical presence, and now we're going up against a bunch of teams that like to run the football. So, he is more of a cover guy, a coverage guy, that would help you when you have teams that are going to throw on you as much as some of these teams would do. And I don't know if Tennessee's coming in here looking to throw the ball that often.
Right.
The New York Giants, how much do they want Daniel Jones to throw the ball?
They're gonna try to establish the run so they can throw off the run. And both quarterbacks will use them in the running game as well.
Now I'll say this, the Cowboys game that you're looking at, and if they possibly add Odell Beckham Jr., if that situation gets resolved now that he's added something to his circumstances with yesterday's news. But if they add him to the equation, I don't know if that could be his first game. You just don't know moving forward. You look at the teams in the playoffs. Does anybody really in the NFC, except for Dallas, scare you from a passing standpoint? I guess Tampa, if they were to get in. But, know Brady's not running the football, or they're going to throw the ball.
No, the Vikings again. If you have to,
you have to play the Vikings. I forgot about the Vikings, yes.
That potentially could, especially after you beat them up as bad as you did to start the season, you might think that, you feel like we can do that again and they got something else for you. But, no, I mean, for the most part, you have the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the 49ers or the other three teams that you are currently kind of discussing as the teams that, you're aligning the top of the conference. They're the four.
Yeah, and we're far enough down the line here where we're looking, not the Eagles, but we're going to look at, you know, obviously playoff seedings and then playoff matchups and how you want to prepare for a certain team. We talk about Buffalo going out and getting Von Miller. Well, that was so they can get the Pat Mahomes.
Right.
So you want to have a team that's equipped to take on the other top teams in your conference. So when you look at San Francisco, you look at Dallas as the two teams that pose a threat to the Eagles. And if you want to throw Minnesota in there, okay, well, you throw Minnesota in there as those are the top four teams. Well, Minnesota would be the one team that you'd be like, okay, they got enough wide receiver help Man. And like throw the ball enough that you certainly would want C.J. Gardner-Johnson back there. But, man, you hope it's nothing major. I mean, that's all. You hope it's nothing major. It doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that's season-ending. It doesn't seem that way.
Hope not. Get him back for the stretch. Get him back for the last couple games.
And really, that's what – yeah. Obviously, you want to keep winning games because you want to keep the number one seed. But ultimately, you want to make sure when you play in the second week of January, you're at full strength.
He's healthy. He's played a couple games to get ready. The rust has been knocked off and whatever else. All right, well, but they Sirianni didn't have the same energy that he did last week, where he was yelling at the reporters.
Well, it was a late
last
night.
Week. Yes, yeah, I know, because we all kind of have the
assistant coach of the year, Jonathan Gannon. Yes,
Ike was up late doing the post game show. Jack was up late doing post game.
He was later than I was.
Duties. Yeah, he's younger, too.
2:30?
He can handle it. Is that what time you were done, 2:30 last night, Jack?
Yeah. Yep, and then I had to drive Dan Wilson home because, you know, the poor little baby couldn't figure out how to get home. So that took an extra 15 minutes.
Well,
because you had to go in the other direction. Yeah. Wait, you had to drive in a different direction.
Driving to the heart of the city. Yeah, you got a city guy next to you.
Oh, he's a city guy.
Yeah.
Would have put Dan in an Uber.
Yeah, I think that's what he was trying to avoid, was that. Well, I mean, yeah, so, like, Nick's probably a little sleepy. He said he had the same kind of but he did last night. He was excited last night after the game. Yelling
still juiced up.
Oh, yeah. All right. defense concerns, Ike? They gave up some yards last night, some points?
Oh, the tackling is always concerning to me. We just don't tackle well on the back end of the defense. You know, if that front line doesn't get to them and slow them down. Our guys on the back end, we aren't the biggest when it comes to our corners and our safeties. So when you get a guy like A.J. Dillon running at you and he's running hard, those arm tackles, he's going to run through those arm tackles. I thought last night was a little bit of a weird game because actually Aaron Rodgers, I thought Green Bay would come out running more than they did early. They threw the ball, too.
Yes,
like Aaron Rodgers was on his game early in the game throwing the football, even though that interception, that was great play by Slay to knock that ball up in the air for Josiah Scott to pick it off. I thought Aaron Rodgers was moving around the pocket and throwing the ball pretty good. And so now when you got that as a defense going, you're saying, oh, my God, this dude, they done found a little rhythm. So now you really do have to respect the passing game. And so now Jonathan Gannon is saying to himself, okay, we may have thought this was going to be a hard hat lunch pail game where it was going to be nothing but running. No, they've come out throwing the ball a little bit. I got to back off some. I'm not overly concerned because what I also look at is who we're facing coming down the stretch. You know, the tackling is going to be the tackling. They're going to have to tackle. Simple as that. There's no other way around it.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes it's not going to be pretty. Sometimes we're going to squirm a little bit. But we aren't the greatest tackling team. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, they're built more for coverage than to come up and thump you. I mean, and actually, the play that Gardner-Johnson got hurt, I think it was on Christian Watson. He tried to put a hit on him, and he ended up being the one that got the worst end of the hit.
Yeah.
Watson's probably got some weight, some size on him. Watson's a pretty big dude. So, All right. Let's go to the phones. The vice president of the LTBB, Kimberly from D.C., is on the line. Kimberly, how are you? What's up?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
What's up, VP?
I am worried about the defense. If you look at, and you guys actually said something like this a few years ago, which has always stuck in my mind, and so I went and looked it up again today. If you look at the average points that Super Bowl winning teams give up, that their defense gives up, over the last 10 years, it's been 18.9, and often it is less than, it's around 16 for a lot of the teams. For our first 8 weeks, we were right there, 16.8, right in the below the average, right around a lot of the teams. For our last three games, we've been at 27 average, 27 points per game, and two of those games we gave up 32 and 33 points. Mm. Not great.
Yeah.
And when you look at the two teams that we gave up those points to, those teams are averaging, not playing against us, much lower scores. So the Packers, for example, are only averaging 18 points per game. We gave them 33.
Yeah. No, I think it's valid. I think it's a valid point, Kimberly. Here's the thing that I think I'm not settled on just yet, because I like what we have on defense. I do. I'm not one of these people that like to yell at about Jonathan Gannon every chance that I get. The last couple of weeks, the offense has hurt the defense. The offense and the special teams have hurt the defense. The turnovers, the long kickoff returns, or what have you, putting the defense in a tough position and expecting them to put the fire out every time they make a mistake. I just don't know if we have that type of defense that can just shut out any team no matter where they get the football at. I'm not saying they are absolved from some of the responsibility. I just think the numbers are, even with the 32 that Washington scored, seven of those came against the offense. They threw the ball. They threw the ball around the end. So, right. And think about the turnovers last week. Jalen got sacked, fumbled the ball on the first play of the third quarter. The defense kept them from scoring a touchdown. But when you get the ball on the 10-yard line, 5-yard line, you're not going to keep points off the board. So, and yesterday, when you give up 100 and some, almost 200 yards in kickoff and kickoff returns, like
that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good, man. You give a team a half a field to work with, all they need is a first or second down. I mean, a couple of first downs, and you're in scoring range already. So, and then A.J. Brown fumbled the ball. And
that was, I mean,
They returned that all the way down to I don't know if did Green Bay kick a field goal or score a touchdown.
Jack, they got a field goal off that. I mean, it was a huge momentum swing.
Yeah.
Because they had I think that fumble happened like 25-yard line, 30-yard line, and then they ran
the
it all the way back.
In, yeah.
So, I mean, that had the potential to – The touchdown before half was such a huge drive and such a huge moment
for Green Bay,
but
for the Eagles.
For the Eagles, for the Eagles, because
Quez Watkins touchdown.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the Packers were getting the ball because when I'm watching it, I'm watching it real time, and there's plenty of time to go down, and to get. I think the Colts had the ball, and then the Eagles had to have the ball. My concern at the time was that. They've had problems managing the end of half. Sirianni hasn't done a good job in recent weeks managing the end of the half. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he did a really good job. He didn't use his timeouts. He was fine with the ball, with the clock just winding down and winding down. He wanted to make sure the Packers weren't getting the ball because they were getting it in the third quarter.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have to make sure you score, too. So you can't hurt your chances.
You can't milk the clock too much.
And I thought he did a really, really good job. And that was big right before half. They went 9 plays, 71 yards, 203, and then the Packers didn't have any time at all, and it was the end of the half when they got it right there.
Yeah, I think when you look at the scoring that has gone up in the last three games, I know Indy didn't score a lot of points. It's been because the Eagles have turned the ball over.
Yeah.
I mean, they've turned the ball over, what, six times in the last
three
games?
They're getting two a week, it seems.
Yeah,
like, right?
Like six times in the last three games, and – you know, the being stopped on fourth down, that's almost like a turnover. That's a turnover on downs because you wind up not scoring there and you wind up giving the ball. And that was in decent field position.
So here's the points that they got last night. They had a four-play, 59-yard touchdown, their first points of the game. And that was after, I guess, a long return that they gave up. Mm-hmm. Then the Eagles, they lost it on downs, so then – a touchdown, 37 yards. So, again, very short field there.
Which
one
was
right
that
there.
One?
Which that was Randall Cobb.
Okay, the Randall Cobb touchdown.
Cobb touchdown. Right. And then Eagles fumble, and then they go 13 yards for a touchdown. So they fumbled deep in their own. So that was the return, I guess, right
yeah,
there?
The return, yeah, that was the return.
So they got a touchdown off of it.
Yeah, they got a touchdown off of it. Okay. So that there's, and again, it would have been great had the Eagles defense went out there, kept them out of the end zone.
They did that. They did that last week.
Yeah, but that's Aaron freaking Rodgers out there. So give the other team a little credit for taking advantage of getting the ball on the 13-yard line.
Yeah, but everything but the first touchdown was set up by a turnover.
Yes.
Or downs.
Yep.
So they're not going 75 yards on all those scoring plays. I mean, at the end of the first quarter, I thought it was the end of the first half. That's how much action there was in that first quarter.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And again, I'm not telling you that the defense can't play better or doesn't need to play better in areas. I'm just saying they aren't getting any help from the offense or the special teams.
No, they're not. Let's go to Andy. Andy's in Maryland. Andy, go ahead. How are you? What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man?
What's up, Andy?
Andy.
Hey. All right. So here's my main concern. Jalen Hurts running the way he did last night is – not great, man. I don't know how long we're going to be able to go with him staying healthy, man. It just looked bad. He was running into some major coverage, got hit pretty bad. And I don't know how long, you know, that can be going on.
Was it too much last night? Did he take too much contact? Did he run too much last night?
For me, for sure. You never want to see your quarterback get hit. A bunch, but he's compacted. I don't need him running 17 times, but it seemed like last night it was out of necessity. It wasn't, you know, where he's just taking off and running instead of throwing the football. I think he had to at times because there was either nothing there or the rush was on him so quick that now he's in scramble mode. You know, when he's starting to whirly-dirl and he's going back and he spins and come back this way, you know, sometimes he's going to take off, but then sometimes he's not going to take off. When I say I thought he took too many hits last night, it's because I'm also – you just get worried about the quarterback, one of these hits he may not get up from. That's just the way that it is. Like, that's I think any fan would look at that, and I think we feel a little more sense of secure when he doesn't get up, hobbled, or what have you. But – there's always in the back of your mind, you don't know when he's not going to be able to just get up.
And it could be.
It could happen on any play.
It could happen on any play. It could.
He got lucky the one time. I mean, the Heineke play a week before is the same play. He got hit right in the back, and they didn't call the penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't, you're certainly not going to tell him not to run.
No, it's actually so,
I don't know what to do.
The offense is at its best when this is the style of play that they play, right? And Jalen has shown that he can beat you with his arm. I just worry that if you rely on this way too often, then that becomes the way that you almost need or the way that you want to win. I don't know. I mean, like, it's two straight weeks where the passing offense wasn't great. Jalen wasn't bad yesterday throwing the football. I don't feel like that after the game at all. But they also ran the ball a whole hell of a lot.
Well, here's the thing. The passing game isn't as great because Dallas Goedert isn't in there. That's part of it. A.J. Brown was a little banged up, a little compromised. He wasn't feeling well. So that's part of it. Devontae, you have to realize he's a certain type of wide receiver. So he's not going to break a lot of tackles. He can be elusive at times, but he can catch 7 passes for 50 yards, too.
Yep.
It doesn't mean it's going to be 7 catches for 460 yards or what have you. So, you know, all of this goes into the passing game, and that's what you're getting. Like, Devontae caught 7 passes, I think. And I think A.J. caught 5. So, yeah. I mean, they were running so well last night, they just didn't need to throw the ball with the regularity, and I don't think the offensive line is pass protecting as well as they were earlier in the year.
I think that's pretty clear.
Like, Jordan Mailata, is he completely healthy with his shoulder, or is he just gutting it through? You know, Landon Dickerson had to come out of the game last night. Andre Dillard's out there playing at left guard. So part of the problem is, like, and when teams see that type of stuff, they're going to send extra rushers after you. There was a moment in that third quarter where Jalen was just under siege.
Yeah.
Every time he dropped back. So, I think they're just trying to survive right now. If everything was optimal and we had every player healthy, then I would be concerned. But they just don't have everything going for them right now that's healthy. And they really have to sort of just survive and get through this little portion of the schedule and get everybody back as soon as possible.
Donovan McNabb joins us coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll ask him if he thinks that there's too much running going on for Jalen Hurts and his reaction to the win last night. So that's coming up. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chiggs and Pete's. Chiggs and Pete's gift cards, the perfect present this holiday season. They always fit. Stop in to an area location or online, chickiesandpeets.com. Donovan at 4.
You know what I didn't hear? I haven't heard today.
What?
Fletcher Cox sucks. He stinks. Get him out of here.
No, then no. Well,
I didn't hear anything about Fletcher today.
No.
I know I saw him last night a few times.
Absolutely.
It's up to me to point out Fletcher played well last night, because if you don't point that out, the only time his name gets brought up is when the team loses or we give up runs and Fletcher didn't make any tackles.
Kiss my ass.
No.
Fletcher Cox played a damn good game last night.
It's like Jonathan Gannon. You don't talk about him only when the defense isn't playing well. Then it's their fault.
Yeah, sack could have had a couple of sacks last night. Tackle for loss.
You're right. You noticed them quite
good
a bit.
Good game last night. From Fletcher. I feel obligated to say it. I feel obligated to say it.
Jack,
he played a good game last night. Somebody needs to say it, because when he doesn't play well, we don't hesitate to point it out. It's like a whole day.
You're here for us, Ike.
Yes. I'm just trying to be fair and balanced.
That's what the show
is. He played well, and he's had a bad game or two here and there, but he's also played well for a guy that's in his 12th year.
And not playing 70 snaps
anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he played well last night.
All right.
Good for Fletch. There we go.
We will relive the game through the eyes of Merrill and Mike. How did it sound? You'll hear that montage next. And just a reminder, Donovan McNabb joins us at 4 o'clock. Marks and Reese, we're live at Chiggies and Pizza, South Philly. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, one of the things that I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new players or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. And that's perfect for tonight's game. How about this? Indy taking on Pittsburgh tonight. Woo! This ought to be a barn burner. Okay, I got a same game parlay for you, though. I like the young fella, George Pickens, the wide receiver from Pittsburgh, to score an anytime touchdown tonight. How about Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Indianapolis, to go over in his rushing yards? And let's have the quarterback from Indy, Matt Ryan, to go over in his passing yards. I was going to give him an INT, but you know what? I'll be nice today and go over in passing yards for Matt Ryan. That's the same game parlay. That's just one of the reasons why I bet with FanDuel. I've also told you about, I love the live betting and the fast withdrawals when I do win a bet from time to time. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Now, there's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in free bets, win or lose, when you use promo code Ike. That's promo code Ike. Make every moment more with FanDuel.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
All right, we're back, Marks and Reese. Today's broadcast live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. And the holidays are here. Book a holiday party at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you, chickiesandpete's.com. I was driving to where I was doing my where I was watching the game last night with Miller Lite.
Yes.
Listening to the pregame show, and I caught Trent and Hugh.
Yeah.
Joined the show, and it was a lot of fun to hear those guys and the stories, including the Atlanta story that you that was told from Trent's perspective.
Yes, and he completely got it wrong. but that's Trent, though. So yeah,
no, I know.
Yeah, I just let him roll because you can't stop Trent when he's in the middle of his thoughts and everything.
Well, no, because he was also like he was a rookie, so yes. he's like I didn't know what was going on. He's like, oh my God, welcome to the NFL. He's over there.
Me and Trotter fighting each other.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times I need to tell people that was not Trotter and myself. No.
But we said it so many times, it has
to be
true.
Yes, it has to be true. Yes.
Right, Jack? I mean, who even cares what really happened?
Nobody does. Yeah,
nobody
clearly,
does. We don't care.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
How about you? Did you hear the halftime speech?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I heard it.
He couldn't help himself.
And no, he can't help himself ever.
Did he curse?
Of course he did.
Yeah, I was walking out of the stadium, and I was hearing his speech. Like I heard his Philadelphia, and I was like, that's awesome. And then I was like, hold on, did he just curse? Like, who's dumping it? Who's dumping it?
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't dump it in the stadium.
No,
so.
They can't. No,
and then I turned on, because I knew there was a delay, I turned on my radio in my car, and they weren't carrying it. So I was like, all right, good.
He was talking. I think he was talking to Trot. I think he was – given an account of Trot complaining about Hugh not playing the run.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. It's always like to me, last night was really, really cool because it's two guys that I was big fans of and I watched their entire career and the entirety. You brought up the Hugh Douglas to Trent to Brandon Graham, and it's so true. It's so true. So. Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool last night. It was great to hear them. Great to hear them on with you as well in the pregame show.
Yeah,
man.
That was fun. And listen, it's you know, Jeffrey Lurie, since he's owned the team, it's been a lot of winning. Obviously, now we've got the one championship, and certainly looking for more. But you know, arriving here a few years after he bought the team. And somewhat being connected to pretty much everybody he's drafted here since, and the ones that were around, because you know his first draft class, I think it was Bobby Taylor was his first part of his first draft class.
1995, yeah.
So you know being connected to Bobby, and then you had Troy was brought in that 95 class as part of a free agency acquisition.
Oh yeah.
Then you added Dalk.
Oh, yeah.
The next year with Hollis, that next year, Hollis was undrafted in 96, so he's part of Dalk's class. And then you had Deuce the following year. Then you brought in guys like myself and Trot and Trey and traded for Hugh Douglas, Donovan the year after that. So being connected to all those guys, even Trent, who took over 58 after I left, I feel somewhat connected to him. Ohio boys, all of us Ohio kids. Right. So we feel connected from that standpoint. Trent grew up about 30 miles outside of Cincinnati, small town, Xenia, that's very country. He talks about it and loved it. The story I didn't know is that he was a ball boy at Central State while Hugh was a player there.
Never heard.
Yeah, now that was cool.
Never heard that. Had no idea. Yeah. It was a really good segment last night with those guys. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Hugh also lobbying for the midday job, I heard again. I asked him about it on the air on Friday, and then he's using the same lines and everything.
Yeah. I guess he's thrown his name in the hat. Yeah.
I hope the Atlanta people weren't listening to that. I mean, I would say making the case for.
Listen, they've been worried about him and his love affair with Philadelphia ever since he arrived in Atlanta because he doesn't hide it.
And he was. I remember.
He doesn't hide his love affair for Philadelphia.
He came up the day of the parade. I think he drove up with his son.
Yep.
They drove up, and I remember he was sitting here. He was leaving. He was literally leaving from here, and he was driving home. It was after the parade. We were at Chickie's, and he's like eating crab fries and stuff, and you could tell that he was like, man, I could get used to this.
Right.
I get used to doing radio here in Philly. So,
man, and speaking of little Hugh, he's big.
He's not little anymore.
No, he's not little anymore. Taller than me now. I'm 6'3", so, yeah, he's
man.
Yeah, he's up there. He's up there. A couple of the greats in last night, B-Dawg, B-West. Runyon.
Saw Trey.
Trey was in. Yep. They were in last night. I completely forgot about Runyon's son playing for Green Bay. starting right guard for Green Bay.
Yeah, it is weird that we don't – and I know it. I watch Red Zone. And I know it all the time. But we weren't talking about him coming back to Philadelphia with his dad. It is weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
And I didn't think about it until I saw a picture of him last night. I'm like, man, I forgot that we got the father-son connection going on here as well. So that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, it was a good night.
It was a good night. It's a good night, man. It was. They do a great job with the whole induction for those guys and everything. It's something I think the Eagles obviously take pride in. It's not one of those throwaway things. It's not like the mannequin they put up of Sean Taylor down there at FedEx Field. That nonsense.
If you would have given me a million tries of what that thing would have looked like. Because it was supposed to be a statue.
They can't do anything right.
No, they can't.
they can't please their fans no matter what they do. They can't do anything right down there.
I felt like I was in a department store.
And I'm actually happy. Even some of the greats. I saw my brother B. Mitch. He let it be known that he's like, no, this ain't it. So it was a lot of people that was disappointed about that.
It was weird. All right, back to the folks. After we hear from Merrill and Mike in the montage. Here it is.
Hurts. He's pressured. He starts to run. He comes up the middle of the field. He cuts back at the 30, at the 35, on his feet at the 40, at the 45, and he's pushed out of bounds near midfield. Well, if you don't connect in the air, you might as well just run with it, and he did for 24 yards. Hurts is back in a quarterback draw. He's across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, out of bounds at the 7. That's the Jalen Hurts running show. Hurts gives it off to Gamewell, who pushes forward. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Eagles. Hurts, this time to Sanders again. At the 10, at the 5. Miles Sanders, touchdown number 7 of the season. The most he's ever scored in one season. The score, the Eagles 13, the Packers nothing. Rodgers gives off to Dillon. Up the middle to the 10, to the 5. Dillon is in the end zone. Rodgers under center. He fires, and it is complete. Touchdown, Randall Cobb. 14-13, Green Bay. He steps up. He's going to run. Run he does. He's got the first down. He's at the 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and out of bounds inside the 5. Jalen Hurts. Hurts gives it off to Sanders. Pushes. He's in. Touchdown, Miles Sanders. Touchdown number 8 on the season. Second of the game. He's back. Here comes the rush. He is firing, and it's a touchdown. Opening up was Aaron Jones, 8 yards deep, and so it's 20-20. Hurts takes the snap out of the gun again. He steps forward. He is going deep, and it is caught. And backing in is Quez Watkins for the touchdown. It goes to Sanders. He's at the 40. He's at the 35. He's at the 30. He's down to the 27. But now it is the Miles Sanders show. Hurts takes it, looks, fires, complete. Touchdown, A.J. Brown.
That's beautiful.
The Eagles, 34. The Packers, 20. Hurts takes it, and he keeps it, and he smashes the rushing record. Jalen Hurts has set a new Eagles rushing record for a quarterback in a game, in a single game. I think Aaron Rodgers is out of the game.
I think you're right. I saw him go to the locker room, and I haven't seen him come back from the locker room.
Jordan Love takes, fires, completes the pass, running down the sideline with the ball, and going down across the 10, the 5, it is Watson on a long touchdown, and suddenly it's going to be a 7-point game. Here we go. Ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's got the distance, and it is good! He nails it. With his biggest fan, David Akers, here tonight on Hall of Fame night to watch Jake Elliott possibly lock up the game. Hurts takes the snap, comes back, gives it to Sanders. Sanders with the first down, and the game is over.
Oh, yeah, that'll lock it up.
And the Eagles are 10-1, and the Packers are pretty much out of their playoff race.
There, Maryland Mike. Yes, 10-1. Jack, is it a good 10-1?
Ain't no stopping us now.
Ain't no stopping us now. Jack, a good 10-1? A great 10-1?
Good. I would say they're really like 8-3.
So they feel more like an 8-3 team than a 10-1.
8-3?
Yeah. Spot the lie. I mean, 10-1's a dominant. Like, are we going to be like the dominant football team thing or what?
Oh. I don't feel like arguing about dominant football teams.
By the way, Jack, I got some collateral damage from your takes because I was getting DMs being like, oh, Tampa is still ranked ahead of the Eagles. And I'm like, that was Jack. Don't bother him.
Leave me alone. I get them and then I say, congratulations.
So they do message you after. Oh,
yeah. You get the Russ stuff still, which I appreciate. I still get the Bucks. The Bucks are ahead of the Eagles.
I get it all.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phones.
I think I even got an LTBB tweet yesterday.
Saw that, yeah.
You got an LTBB tweet?
No, actually, we just got one an hour ago. I was like, how's the LTBB?
Is that what it was? Yeah, it was an hour ago.
And do you guys still want Russ?
Let me check. No.
Dude, they are awful, man.
You know what I thought about when I looked at that situation yesterday? I said, dude, if the Broncos don't hurry up and fire Nathaniel Hackett and get Sean Payton in there, they need to clear the whole front office. They need to clear the front office because that's what that team needs. You need a coach like a Sean Payton, an offensive guy who knows what he's doing, but also has sort of a no-nonsense personality that can change the culture out there in Denver. Right now, they haven't had a quality head coach out there, and I don't know when. So, they don't need one of these young hot shots. They don't need one of these young coaches.
They need an established guy that's done it, going to help the GM and tell the GM what he needs. A guy that's run an organization. He did it for a long time.
Yes.
Guy doesn't take crap that Russ is going to respect.
And that Russ is going to respect. Yep.
Yeah. You think he looks at Nathaniel Hackett? And by the way, Russ, like, he sucks, but, like,
if you give him something to work with, I think there's still good football left in Russ Wilson.
I mean, Sean Payton's going to have his options between that, Cowboys, Arizona,
he really
Chargers.
Is. Yeah.
The Cowboys win 12 games. Does Jared
Chargers, you ready to fire Stan?
Okay. Well, he's atrocious.
He's atrocious. He is. He's bad.
Get a chance to get Sean Payton to pair with Justin Herbert? I mean,
Yeah. All right. Let's pair us with Black Gritty from blackgritty.com as he joins us right now. Hi, Black Gritty.
Yeah, Marsh, you was out there trying to let Russ cook. He'd have been over here talking about let's fly.
I'd be so mad.
He would have been like, let's fly. You know what I'm saying?
Let's ride, Eagle Nation.
Let's ride.
Yeah, let's fly, Eagle Nation. Like, come on, man. Let Russ cook. And Jack over there, don't let Jack cook nothing, boy. He put a little too much salt in everything. He over there talking. I'm about to tell him what you can see. Oh, he's talking. Don't let him make nothing. Don't let that young boy cut nothing. Young Bryce like him like, okay, guess what? We 10-1, and the only problem I got is special teams, okay? How do you want it? You remember you was like, hey, remember you put the thing in the Super Bowl? You want to win the Super Bowl 10-7? You want to win it 40-37? What do you want? And guess what? We got that 40-33 rocking. How did it feel?
There we go.
Good, okay? So when my coordinator can't do 1,000 cuts slow death and let the big plays go, let my offense get back on the field, stay in rhythm, they can keep up and keep pace. That was a crazy game. It was fluky. It was weird. It was Sunday night.
It was another weird game.
Oh, it was so crazy. But they kept scoring. They kept doing. And I just want to say one thing. I cannot wait until Jalen Hurts either comes second in MVP or first MVP because I'll make a lot of money on that bet that I put in early. But I just want him to get the coded language that these other quarterbacks get. Okay? Josh Allen. Well, his elbow's hurting. That's why he threw the interception. Oh, my God. Did you see the laser arm on this man? It's unbelievable. He's running. It's a weapon. How come every time this fool goes stumbling, bumbling, running into three linebackers, he's a weapon? My dude goes and runs 30 yards and dances, spin moves, Michael Jackson moonwalks out of tackles, and it's, well, he's going to get hurt. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers got a broke thumb, broke ribs, and they move 2 feet. So you're going to get hurt regardless in the game of football, but if we don't get our dude being called a weapon. He's not using his weapon. But he's got to, you don't trust him to throw the ball. You just want to shut up. This is how we roll. Any way you want it. You want it in the air. You want it in the ground. You want takeaways. We can do it any way you want except for special teams. And Ellie did it. Mr. Tripod himself hit that long field goal. He missed the extra point. So did Crosby. And Crosby's one of the great. Sometimes it happens. Shut up. Enjoy the win. Don't let Jack Nolo cook nothing. Cause
no.
Let's fly, Eagles Nation. Let's fly. Let him cook out there in Denver. Because we got what we need. Let's go. Ike, you killed it. I think you broke a rib with that thing. Let's go.
Thanks, Black Gritty.
Right, there you go.
Got some energy today. Black Gritty from blackgritty.com. I don't. Like, and by the way, Josh Allen, I don't think he's going to stay healthy if he keeps playing like that. He initiates contact. Jalen's not trying to initiate contact.
Well, Josh Allen's also 6'5", 250 pounds. Yeah. Some people don't want to tackle him.
I'm sure they don't. Yeah. But I still worry about, you know, you decide you're going to lower your shoulder on somebody and you separate the shoulder.
Well, he also likes to leap over people.
Which he did on the last play of the game against Detroit. And he got up hobbling with his hip.
So he I'm sure the Buffalo Bills don't want him playing that way. But,
good luck.
You know, he does what he does. And, listen, I'll say this. He went through a little rough patch, too. Josh Allen is still Josh Allen.
Yep.
So let's not act like he's some trash can quarterback or this and that and the other. He's not the MVP of the league, but he's still a damn good quarterback.
I'm sure that almost any other franchise, whatever, would take him.
Yeah.
Is this just what the offense is? And I'm not saying that necessarily in a negative way, but I think we've seen enough.
Kind of, you are.
Or
either you're concerned. Well, which one is it? He's concerned.
It's like we have said this. It's important that you get through this period where you win as many games as possible when you have injuries before you kind of round the corner. Because they're right around to where you're coming down the stretch, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think we're there yet, but we're almost right there. And
be in December come Sunday.
You got six games left.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the season's, you know, like this is coming up on the home stretch. Mm-hmm. And I just worry about this style of play when you're playing playoff teams. Not that you can't throw the ball, but you rely on this style of play, which is, hey, Jalen, you're going to have to go out there and win some of these games. I mean, Miles was great yesterday, right? Like, they were able to run the football in a conventional way.
Yeah.
But I worry that when you rely on this type of play to move the ball, when a good coordinator and better personnel decides, hey, we're not going to let you do that, then what?
See, I look at it this way. It's a better version, slightly, and I guess it's debatable, but it's a better version of what the San Francisco 49ers were with Colin Kaepernick. You know, Kaepernick had the arm strength to throw anywhere on the field. Yeah, I mean, he just did. He could throw the ball anywhere on the field. But he also had the speed of a damn wide receiver when he got in the open field. I think about the playoff game he had up in Green Bay. It was amazing. He threw for over 250 yards and he rushed for another 150. I mean, it was crazy. And sometimes it's not going to look like a cookie cutter offense that you see everybody else run. Some games it's going to be Jalen has 150 rushing or 100 rushing and he's going to throw for 200 yards. You got to look at his numbers and say, what is his overall numbers are going to be like? Because if Tom Brady can throw for 4,500 yards and throw for 40 touchdowns, what difference is it if Jalen Hurts throws for 3,500 yards, rushes 4,000, throws 25 touchdowns, and runs for another 15? It's the same points.
Well, he's making much or more of an impact as Brady.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. I would guarantee you for a defense, it's much harder to defend a Jalen Hurts than it is a Tom Brady. Because if you have a quarterback that can beat you running and throwing, I mean, the defense is it's just at your mercy. And because he doesn't play reckless, like they were talking about this earlier. Every quarterback has a game or two here or there, right? Some of them had three or four games, bad games I'm talking about, over the course of a season. We can look through the 11 games and just give me Jalen's worst game. I'll just tell you what his worst game looks like compared to somebody that's thrown three interceptions in a game.
And it's not all that bad.
Compared to somebody that throws late interceptions that cost you the game, fumble the ball, all those types of things. So every quarterback has a game like that, though. This kid is still yet to have a game like that this year. He's yet to have a game where you say, oh, my goodness, what the hell is he out there thinking today?
Right. Was that the Giant game last year where he had – that was his worst game last year?
There you go, yes. It was the Giant
poor decision making,
yes.
Was throwing the ball up.
Yes.
He has not had a game like that this year.
No. He hasn't had that this year.
I mean, he really hasn't – like
you and it's not like they're hiding him in the offense.
How many poor decisions has he made the entire year as a quarterback throwing the ball? Handful?
Yeah, maybe a handful. Yeah.
Well, that's what – you know, they've played 11 games. That's pretty impressive that he's only had a couple of plays where you're like, damn, what was he thinking there? If that.
I'm just saying his bad games still are good enough to win games.
They're not that bad.
Yeah, they aren't disastrous games.
Twitter questions today brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers annual men's night out. It's back December 15th. Do all your holiday shopping one night. Details are online, marks-jewelers.com. We'll come back with number five. We'll take phone calls next segment as well, 215-592-9494. Donovan McNabb, his take on the game yesterday, Jalen's performance. Are they running too much? And did he think it was a bad defense or the offense putting them in a bad situation? Donovan McNabb is coming up next. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's, the new heated deck at Chickies on the Boulevard. It's open. Enjoy the best in-game experience on the deck at Chickies on the Boulevard. Back with Donovan next. Hey, listen, engagement season is here. It's always here, right? There's one place to go for diamond engagement rings in the Delaware Valley. That is Mark's Jewelers. Visit my friend Jim and his all-star staff. Largest selection of diamond rings in the entire area. And unlike the store that's in the mall, Mark's has rings that no one else has or no one else makes. That's right. Your one-of-a-kind lady can get a one-of-a-kind ring, but you can only do that at one place, Mark's Jewelers. And by the way, we know the holidays are coming up. I mentioned the men's night out, which is coming up on the 15th, December 15th. I'll be out there for that. It's a great time to come out and just, you know, do all your holiday shopping in one night with some great deals. That's at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. So check them out online, marks-jewelers.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.